Today's Shiur Masechta Chulin Daf Samach Hey. We'll begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Samach Dalar Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom. Gemara had asked a question yesterday in our previous year. How do we know that the beya, the egg of a non-kosher bird, is asur? And the Gemara had said because the Torah, when it mentions the non-kosher bird, says Vespas Hayana. And the Gemara said that the Bas Hayana means the egg of the Yana bird, which is not kosher. The Gemara had gone into a lengthy discussion to prove that Bas Hayana is an independent type of bird. And since Bas Hayana is an independent type of a bird, it's not here to teach us anything about the eggs of a Yana, of this non-kosher bird. Says the Gemara, Ella ksiv hayana, v'ksiv bas hayana. So indeed, says the Gemara, sometimes this bird is called a yana bird, and sometimes it's called a bas yana. As we found, the pasuk in Eichuk says ki ya'anim, so we see that the bird is called by the name of yana. But then there's a pasuk in Yeshaya that says benois yana. So we see from here that the bird is called bas yana. So back to our original kasha, our original question, how could this pasuk be used to teach us that the eggs of a non-kosher bird are not kosher if it's just mentioning the name of the bird? Answers, the Gemara of Shani Hacha, the reason we know that the Torah means to teach us that the eggs of a non-kosher bird may not be eaten, the pasuk Safar L'Shtei Tevis. Here, the Torah made the Bas Hayana, the space between the word bas and yana, made it into two words, not bas yana and word in one word. And therefore, says the Gemara, mid the pasuk l'safra b'tarti tevis, since we see that this is divided into two separate words, shmamina, what we learn from here is that it's not referring to the type of bird which is called the bas yana. It's trei shemus nanu. It's coming to teach us two separate words. And what the Torah has come to teach us with the two separate words is that the beya, the egg of a yana, is not kosher. So the Tveres Yaakov asks that the pasuk before said benois yana as the name of the bird by separating it into two separate words, and we didn't say that it means something else other than the name of the bird. So one Tarot he offers is that the Torah could have, the data Torah used the word benois yana. There it represents the name of it. Here it says bas yana. So then it should not be divided into two words. If it is divided into two words, it's indication that it means the eggs. Another Tarot he says is that if the Torah would have meant to say that it's one bird, the Torah should have said bas yana. Why does it say bas hayana? Ask the Gemara, if that's the case, wherever the Torah separates it something into two words, what the Torah means to say, it means to say that that's not, there's something to be learned here. El ma'ata, as the pasuk speaks about kedaloimer, the pasuk says shtei masushana of this kedaloimer. Mardu. So here we find in the Chumash, the Apostle of Sefer Trey, that the Torah separates this into two separate words. Hakanami, does that mean Trey Tatishmeinenu, that it represents two separate names? So there's a very interesting discussion. Here the Gemara is indicating that when Kiddel Omer is written in the Torah, it's written as two separate words. But it's not so simple that that is actually the case. And not necessarily in every Sefer Torah would we find that it's written into two separate words. And therefore the Gra points out that even though Al Gemara says that it's written in the Torah as two separate words, that's not necessarily the Masorah. The Masorah of how this name Kedaloimer should be written in the Torah is not necessarily that it should be written in one name, and he brings many. There are many different opinions in the Rishonim what is the way to write it. The Chasam Sofer says that the Gemara never meant the way it's written in the Torah. In the Torah, it's always written as one name. What the Gemara means to ask is that we see when the name Kedoloimah is written anywhere, it's written as two separate words. And therefore, the Gemara's question is, what does that come to teach us if we see that it's written into two separate words? Ha'achinami d'tarchi shmeinenu. Ask the Gemara, does that mean that it's two separate words? Answers the Gemara, Amri. Hasam, when we speak about Kedoloimer, b'shtei tevis pasuklu, it's indeed separated into two letters. However, b'shtei shiton lai pasuklu, there's no issue that they can be written on two separate lines. They have to be written on one line. You can't have Kiddur on the end of one line and Oimer on the second line. Avalhacha, when we speak about the Basyana, it's so separate that I feel b'shnei shita nami pasukla, they could be written in two separate lines. And in fact, this is the very basis for a question. When somebody writes, we know that in writing of a get, the halacha is very particular how the writing of a get should be, and particularly how the writing of the names should be in a get. And the Paiskim say that from this Gemara we learn that when somebody, Rahman Slan, is writing a get, and they're writing a name that comes from two words, example that I could think of is Batsheva. If somebody's writing the name Batsheva in a get, they should be most careful that it should be written on one name. It's also interesting to point out that the Paiskim, the Noda Yehuda already discusses, that we find nowhere in Shas that people were called by two names. Even he says that we do find the name Abba Shaul and Abba Yosef. That's not considered two names. It's just Abba was a title. And in fact, Chasam Sofer writes that this meaning that people have two names, that some people have two names, that was a new meaning. In fact, the Chasam Sofer quotes the Yamsha Shloim the Marshal, that there was once a couple who had a baby. The father wanted to call the baby after his father, whose name was Meir, and the mother wanted to call the baby by the name of his father, whose name was Yor. So instead of calling the baby with both names, they called him Shneir, which is a combination, but they didn't use two names. The Shaul Shetshuvos Mishnah Halachas, however, says that we see even in our Gemara that Kedoloimer is not necessarily two separate words, as we've been discussing. Is it two separate words or not two separate words? And that would be maybe a raya that we could call somebody with two names. In fact, there's an interesting the question that many people have, unfortunately, a minig, that if somebody is very sick, they add a name, or should you change a name? And the Klaus Magreb in the Shaul Shetshuvos Divrei Yatziv says that we see that many places have the meaning they don't change the name, they just add a name that should be for the refuah of this person. The bottom line is, it's an interesting question that we don't find really in the Gemara or in the Chumash, people with two names. The question is, how do we look at the name Kedoloimer? We learned further in the Mishnah, Aval Amr Chachamim Kal Oif, any bird that's a dairus is Tamei. And then we furthermore learned that a bird who has an extra finger or a zekev is a crap, a kurkavan, a nifklov, or its kurkavan, its stomach, its gizzard is easily peeled as tar. Says the Matan Rav Gamliel Oimer, dairus v'eichel, if an animal is a dairus as it eats, the yedua that it's an oif tamei, that clearly is an indication that that bird is a non-kosher bird. And as we've been learning, there are other simonim that if the bird is not a dairus, and as yeshle etzbi yisera, it has an extra finger. In our discussion, we've learned different explanations. What does it mean, an extra finger? One is that one finger it's indeed an extra finger. One explanation is that one finger is not in the same row as the other fingers, and one explanation is that that finger is so to speak, on the back of the leg. Yesh v'zefek, it has a zefek v'kurkovin and lifnag p'yidua, when it has all of these simanim, that's a proof that it's an oif tahor. There's interesting machloikus rishonim how to understand this gemara. Rashi says that if we see a bird that looks like the bird that was just described in the gemara, then the halacha is that we know it's an oif tahor. Tosfos has a more lenient approach, and Tosfos seems to say that if the bird has this simonim of tahara, even though we haven't been able to perfectly determine if it's a dairus or not, we'll consider it a kosher bird. The way to make the determination if it's a dairus is we put out a string, and we tell the bird to walk on the string. If the way the bird walks along the string is shtayim l'kan v'shtayim l'kan, 2 feet in front of 2 feet, then it's a proof that the bird is a tamei. But if it works sholosh l'kan, 3 fingers in the front, v'achas l'kan, then 1 in the back, that's a proof that it's tahor. So Rashi says that test that the Gemara just indicated is a proof that it's a kosher bird. The Meiri says that the bird that walks this way, it's really connected to what we've been discussing in our shurim. The bird that walks this way, this is the way we're going to be able to tell that this is the way we're going to be able to tell if it's a dairus or not. A bird that divides its fingers perfectly is a dairus, and a bird that doesn't is not a dairus. But then there are opinions in the Rishonim that what the Gemara really means to do here is that add another simon. We've been speaking from the Mishnah already, different simonim, and the Gemara now is adding a whole new simon to be able to determine if it's a kosher bird or not based on the way it walks along the string. Rav Shimon ben Elazar Amar Kol Oif HaKoyot Ben Avir, any bird that when you throw it food, it catches the food from the air, that is a proof that it's a tamei. And here too, I saw 2 approaches in the Rishonim. One approach in the Rishonim is that this is a proof that it's a non-kosher bird. Others say that the bird acting this way is a proof that it's a dairus. Ask the Gemara, but how can we say so? Tzipirta was a kind of bird, and in fact, I even saw that there are opinions that suggest that the tzipirta is a chicken. The tzipirta, nami miklata v'aychle, kulta, that's what the tzipirta does, and the tzipirta was known as a kosher bird. Answers the Gemara, Amar bayit, kulat v'aychle. When Rav Shimon Elazar says that is a non-kosher bird, what he meant is when he caught the food in the air and ate it straight from the air. But if he's let the food, after he caught it, he puts the food down on the floor and then only eats it, that is not a simon, that's not to be understood as a non-kosher bird. If a bird is together typically with non-kosher birds, that's a proof that the bird is tamei. And if the bird is typically im tahirim with kosher birds, that is an indication that the bird is tar. Ask the Gemara, Kaman, whose opinion does the Echeirim follow? Says the Rebbe Elazar, the Tanya Rebbe Elazar Omer, Loi lechinam holach zazer etz oirif. The zazer we find inhabits itself with the oirif. Because the Zarzer and the Oirif are from the same family. So we see that Rabbi Lezer's opinion is that the determination of the kashus of a bird is with which bird it inhabits. Because these two birds that are because it's with the Oirif, which is a non-kosher bird, we indicate that is a proof that the Zarzer is a non-kosher bird. But we learned this sugya, it wasn't clear what the Rabbanan hold about the Zarza. Says the Gemara, Afilu Taim Rabbanan. Even the Rabbanan, who are not clear, will agree, Shochein, that if the bird inhabits with non-kosher birds, and also has the same look as those non-kosher birds, that clearly is indication it's a non-kosher bird, and the Rabbanan will agree to Rabbi Lezer that it's a non-kosher bird. But if the bird that we're looking at is only lives together with them, but doesn't look like that, that will still be a machloikis of Rabbi Lezer Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan will not agree that it's clearly a proof of being non-kosher. This is the Pasha Pshat. The other say Nidma is not that they look the same, but they have very, very similar, that they have very, very similar, very similar simonim. The true Beis Yitzchak speaks about a case about an unfamiliar type of bird that people commonly raised among chickens and somewhat looked like a chicken. He said that our Gemara just said that by Shochet v'Nidma with non-kosher birds is a proof that it's a non-kosher bird. And here too, by kosher bird, we should say that if it's shach, if a bird is together with kosher birds and looks like that, it must be a kosher bird. However, the Beis Yitzchak points out that if we look in the Rambam, when he speaks about this halacha of shach and nidba, only uses the l'chumra, how to identify a non-kosher bird. He doesn't use it as a way of identifying a kosher bird. And moreover, it depends. When we say that a bird is together with another bird is an indication what is the status of that bird, Beis Yitzchak wants to say it's only in a case where the bird went on its own together and stayed with those birds. That is a proof what that bird is. But if somebody put those birds together, that isn't a indication. And I saw that the the Sefer Chashukei Chemed, particularly according to the opinion that we just cited, that takes a lenient approach and takes the approach that if Shochein v'Nidma, it's a kosher bird. The question that he speaks about is we see somebody was mentioned the Shidduch and they want to find out about this boy and they discover that this boy has very good friends. Is that an indication that this boy must be a great boy? And he says, whatever approach we're going to take here when we speak about the kashrus of a bird, if it's kosher or non-kosher, one thing for sure, that people are very influenced by the people that they stay with. And if we find that if we find that there's a boy who is commonly together with good boys, that's a good indicator, good friends. That clearly, as our Gemara already indicates, is a great indication about this boy. We speak about grasshoppers. And the Torah says, Ach azoy toichu mikol sheretz ha'oif ha'oilach al arba ashloi kurai mimal raglu v'nasaban al oritz as elamem toichelu as ha'arba l'minoi v'as ha'solom l'mineyu v'as ha'chargol l'mineyu v'as ha'chogav l'mineyu. So the Torah, when it identifies what are the simonim of a kosher grasshopper, says it has four legs. It has the katsulim, that are legs that are longer legs that are used for the grasshopper to jump. And the Mishnah added two more simonim that has four wings, and that the wings cover most of the body of the grasshopper. Rav Yossi in the Mishnah added one more condition, and that is that it has the name Chogav. And we're going to learn in our shir that it has one more tanai, that it has a long head, that its head is not long. So the Gemara quotes the Mishnah, we said if the wings cover most of the body. But now ask the Gemara, how do we define what that means? My Rubai, Amrav Yudah Marav, Roiv Orkai, most of the length of the grasshopper. Ramilai, and there's another version, Roiv HaKefei. Amra Papa. So now that we're not sure how to define what this Rive Knofik means. Therefore, being in Rive Arkai, we need that the wings should cover most of the length, or being in Chakefai. And the way I saw that the Rishonim explained this Gemara, it's not to be understood that what the Gemara means to say is, well, we don't know what to do, so we're going to have to be Machmer. Rather, the way to understand, we're accepting both interpretation. Moreover, the Gemara in Masechta Avodah Zarah, Daf Lamed Zayin Amabeis, debates that when we're saying Roiv, does it have to be Roiv Hanikar, something that's noticeably Roiv, or if it's just Roiv, it's enough? And the halacha is that Roiv, that if you have Roiv, even if it's not a noticeable Roiv, that will be sufficient. Tana Bonim. But now the Gemara begins with a question. Eloi Akshav, if as the grasshopper is small, it doesn't have yet the kriyim. However, Vosel Gad Lachazman, they're going to grow. Kigoin, and the Gemara identifies there are certain grasshoppers that when they're young and small, they don't have them, but they come later. Kigoin Hazachal, Mutter, the halacha is that that is a kosher grasshopper. Rabbi Yossi Omer, the Parsuk says, how do we know this? He says, because the Torah says, Achazet Toichel, because Sheretz Hoif, Hahilachal Arba, Ashloi Kuraim, Imal, Laraglov, Lanatabeya, Ala Oritz. It says, Ashloi Kuraim. That's the way the Ksiv doesn't have Kuraim. But the Kri is the way we read it, Loi, that it has. What is the purpose of teaching this? To teach us, Afabish Einloi Achshav, even though it doesn't have the Kuraim currently. However, Vosel God Lachazman, they will grow. That's enough to be make it into a kosher grasshopper. Ask the Gemara, since we identified the Zachal, ask the Gemara, what is the Zachal? Amabaya Askara. And that's the type of grasshopper that doesn't have when they're young, but they have them later. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, the Pasuk says, as we've been reading, Ach Azeh Toichlu Mikol Sheretz Ha'oif, another Gemara identifies what is meant with every one of these grasshoppers. Arba is a gavoy. The arba means a gavoy. Solom is the roshoin. Chagel is the nipoil, and chagov is the garden. These are the various types of grasshoppers. And this is one of the reasons, as we're going to be discussing, why we don't eat grasshoppers. And the reason we don't eat grasshoppers is because we don't really know exactly how to identify the various grasshoppers that were just mentioned in the Gemara. Ask the Gemara, but we find in the Pesukim that we just read, the Torah used the word Leminoi, the Torah used the word Leminoi, Lemineu, Lemineu, Arba Pomim. The Torah used these words four times. And the question that the Gemara is posing is, what did the Gemara mean to teach us when using these words? Says the Gemara Lohavi, what we want to learn is that there are various other grasshoppers that may be eaten. Tzipor Karamim, Yochni Yerushalmi, Har Tzubuya, and the Zuvnus. These are all different types of grasshoppers that are similar to the grasshoppers that we just mentioned. The Beit Rabbi Shmuel Tana, he learns the Braisa that we just mentioned in a different way. The way to explain this, and as the Gemara is going to go into this very deeply, is to teach us Eilu Klali Klalos and Prati Pratis. As we're going to be learning, and we have learned actually in previous Shurim, the way the Torah many times speaks, it says a klal, it says a general rule, it says a prat, which is a detail. And the way that is mentioned, what came first, the klal, the prat, is there another klal after the prat, etc., have very important ramifications on how to understand the psukim. And now the Gemara explains what that means. First, the Torah says, shloi kriayim. The Torah is saying that any grasshopper that has kriayim is kosher. And then the Torah says as ha'arba, which we said zegabai. And then the Torah said leminoi lahavi, to teach us that the tzipor kromim is a kosher grasshopper. And actually, as the Rishonim point out, if we look at the Tzipor Kramim, and we look at the Tzipor's Kramim, and we look at the Arba, these are the type of grasshopper that have all the simonim that make a grasshopper kosher. Says the Gemara, only Ella Haba, where we would only know that if it has all the simonim tahara, only Gabachas. Gabachas doesn't have a bald head. Haba for Yeshla Gabachas. But what will be the halach if the grasshopper has a bald head? Minayin, how will we know that it's kosher? Tamalayma Hasolam. Said Nipol. This is the Nipol. And the Nipol is a grasshopper that has a bald head. And now we see that even though it has a bald head, even though the other grasshopper does not, it still may be eaten. Liminayu. And then the Torah uses here, Liminayu comes to teach us the Oshkuf, which is a grasshopper that has a bald head that looks like the Solom. And the Torah is coming to teach us a klal, a prat, a klal. First, the Torah says, asher lo kriayim, which is a klal. And when we know when we have a klal at the beginning, it comes to add any grasshopper that have kriayim. Then it says it's a solem, which is a prat, which means something which is the only the solem is kosher. But then the Torah uses the word lemineyu. The Torah is coming to teach us that anything that's similar to the Solom is also going to be kosher, and that's how we know that any grasshopper similar to the Solom is kosher. So now we have the two klal prata klals, and one was here to teach us that any grasshopper that looks like the Arba is kosher, and one we have to teach us that anything that looks like the Solom is kosher. Engli el haba ve'engli gabachas, something a grasshopper that doesn't have a bald head, or yesh le gabachas, or it has a bald head. Haba, what about if you have a grasshopper, vein le zomav, that doesn't have a grasshopper, because both a tail, because both the arba and the solom don't have tails. But what will be the halacha? Haba, v'yesh le zomav, if you'll have a grasshopper that has all the simonim of a kosher grasshopper, but it has a tail. Minayin that it's kosher. Tamalaymed, says the Gemara, the Pasuk says, Vasachargul Mineyu, and the Chargul is the Russian, and the Russian is a grasshopper that has a tail. Lemineyu, and then the Torah uses the word Lemineyu, and we learn from the word Lemineyu, Lahavi Asa Kapesis Vasachlonis. These are also grasshoppers that have all the simonim of a kosher grasshopper, and they also have a tail. So they're similar to the Chargul, and the Lemineyu comes to teach us, again, another klal prat, the klal. The Torah says a shloi kriayim is a klal, that we say from here that anything that has kriayim is kosher. Then the Torah says if it's a chargol, and then lemineyu, it's coming to teach us anything similar to the chargol that will be considered kosher. Engli ela, continues the braisa, engli ela bo ve'engli gubachas, it doesn't have a bald head. Habava yeshla gabachas, it has a bald head. Habava ein lezaref, or it comes and it doesn't have a tail, although all of those mentioned do have a tail. Habava yeshla zaref. Habava ein rosh aruch. What about if you have a grasshopper that doesn't have a long head? Or if it does have a long, which is like the Arba Salma Chargol, which are all grasshoppers that don't have long head. What will be the halacha, says the Braisa, above a Rosh Aruch? How we know if we have a grasshopper with a long head, minayin, that it's kosher, amarta, says the Gemara, they done binyan av mishloshtim. We learned the following binyan av. Loi ri'i karbal arba kari chagel. The arba and the chagel are not the same. So loi ri'i chagel kari arba. They're not the same, because the arba doesn't have a tail, and the chagel does have a tail. The Arba does not have a bald head, and the Chargol has a bald head. V'loi rishneim, and then when we talk about the Arba and the Chargol are not similar to the Solom, v'loi risolom kriyishneim, neither is the Solom like they. The Arba is different from the Solom, because it has a bald head, and the Arba does not have a bald head. The Chargol is different from the Solom, that it has a tail, and the Solom doesn't have a tail. So we from here we see that making or being a kosher grasshopper is not dependent, not on a tail, not on a ball head, because they don't have these simonim, or because every type of kosher grasshopper doesn't have all of these simonim. But what is the tzad shavu shebehem? What is the common denominator of all kosher grasshoppers? Shesh lo abra glaimen, has 4 feet, abra gaflaim, 4 wings, v'katzulim, these legs which it jumps, v'knofa chayfes rabav, and the wings cover most of the body. Af kol shesh lo abra glaim, v'abra gaflaim, v'katzulim, v'knofam chayfes rubai, that's enough to be kosher, even if it has a long neck. Because we're looking for the common denominators and the grasshoppers that we were able to identify. Ask the Gemara, for Tzartzer Azer, there was a type of a grasshopper called a tzartzer that was identified as a non-kosher grasshopper. And says the Gemara, Yeshla Abra Gleiman has 4 legs, Abra Knafayim, V'katzulim, V'knafa Chayfes Rubav. So according to what we're learning now, any grasshopper that has these characteristics should be kosher. So therefore, Yechel Yeh Mutter, the tzartzer should be a kosher grasshopper. Tamaloymer, the pasuk says, Vesachogav Mineu, this pasuk is superfluous, because the Chogav has all of the simonim of a kosher grasshopper. What does the pasuk mean to teach us with this words? Because the pasuk is coming to teach that it has to be called a chagav. And anything that is not called a chagav, we can't learn. Maybe the chagav should be here to teach us that a kula, not a chumrah. Says the Gemara, because the Torah, say the Rishonim, Taisha says it, because the Torah goes out of its way to say that only a chagav may be eaten, it can't be, that's not something that we could talk about, and therefore, since it's not something that we could talk about, there is no question, and the halacha will be that the chag, it has to be in the chagav family. Says the Gemara, Ishmael chagav yachal ein by kol simanim alalu. But now maybe, if the Torah is insisting that it be called a chagav, maybe as long as it's called a chagav, even though it doesn't have any of the other simanim, it should be considered a kosher grasshopper. Tamalaymar, that's why the Torah used the word lemineu, achebe calls simonim elolu, to teach us they have to be, have the similarity. So we're learning from here that as long as a grasshopper has all of the simonim of a kosher grasshopper, and also it's called a grasshopper, that's needed, that it should be considered a kosher grasshopper. And as I saw, the Sefer Tiferes Yaakov says, why does the Torah mean to teach us that it's called the Chagav? What the Torah means to say when it says that it's called the Chagav, because if it's not called the Chagav, it's not a grasshopper. And when we speak in our shiur about a kosher grasshopper, we're only speaking about grasshoppers. But if it's not called a Chagav, it's entirely not a grasshopper. Ask the Gemara, Paruch Rav Achai, how can we learn say that even a grasshopper that has a long neck is considered kosher? Malahanach, when we look at the Arba Solom and Chargol, they're all Ein Roshim Agam, they're not long necks. So that should be an indication that the Torah is telling us that if it has a long neck, it's not kosher. Once the grasshopper has the 4 simonim of what makes a kosher grasshopper, the halacha is ma'asin v'lo parchinin. We right away identify that to be a kosher grasshopper. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, hani chag the shavlo lichtav, the chagel that has the 4 simonim, there was no need for the Torah to tell us that it's kosher. We could have just learned it. It has the 4 simonim that make a grasshopper kosher, and the Arba V'Solom have the 4 simonim that make it kosher, and we shouldn't have to need to say it. Why could that not have been legitimate to learning? We would have said, because if it doesn't have a tail, And that what we would have said is that if it doesn't have a tail, even though it has the other simonim, we can learn from other grasshoppers. Hachinami, so when we're saying that you have a grasshopper that has all of the simonim that of a kosher grasshopper, but it happens to have a long neck, even though the others do not, why can't we ask? Malanach, Shekain, Ein Rosh, and Aruch. The Arba V'Sol Mechargel don't have a long neck, but anything, and therefore they're kosher. Anything with a long neck would not be kosher. Elamar Rachay, when the Torah says V'Sol Mechargel and Neyu, the entire Pasuk is Yiseiruhu. Why? Because L'Lichter Chmona Solom, the Torah should have not have written the word Solom. V'Taisi, Ma'arba V'Chalol. We could have learned the Solom from the Arba and the Chargel. Because we would have said, my Parachta, what would you say? Ma'la Arba De'en L'Gabachas, that the Arba does not have a bald head. Harei Chagel Yesh L'Gabachas. We'll still say that a Chargel has a bald head and it's kosher. So we see that that's not what's critical. Ma'la Chargel, you're going to say Yesh L'Zonov. Then therefore we're going to say a tail is critical. So we'll say no, Arba ain't Leizonov. The Arba doesn't have a tail and still it's kosher. But so if that's the case, so we could have learned Solom from that. So why we could have learned Solom from the Arba, and we could have learned Solom from the Arba and the Chargel. Why was it necessary to mention the Solom? Lomeli, to teach us Ein Legufoy, if it's not here to teach us that it's kosher, that we could have learned, Tanei Inu Le Rosh Aruch. So we have here two cases, and that's what was meant at the beginning of the of this Sugya, Klal Prat, a Klal, Ashalei Kraim is a Klal, Asa Arba V'Chagel are a Prat, Lemineu Lemineu are again Klals, and that's what it meant, that's a double Klal, that's what it said, Klali Klalus, and also has the word solemn, which, as we just finished saying, is superfluous. And we have the word chogov, which is also here to teach us. So from here we learn that even something that has a long neck is kosher, but we always have to have that it's called a chogov. And that was meant by Rabbi Shmuel when he said klole klolis and prote protis. Even though we've had this extensive discussion in our shir about what grasshoppers are kosher, says the Archaim. The Archaim says, when the Torah speaks about grasshoppers, he says very strongly, L'kein kol yorev v'chored, l'kein kol yorev v'chored, yorev v'yifchad, anybody who has Yerushmayim should be concerned about yosh yodah l'shakitz shekazeh. She should not touch this type of nice grasshopper, from when people started listening to my directive, and people stopped eating grasshoppers. There used to have a epidemic of grasshoppers. This all stopped, says Dor HaChaim, from when I said people should not eat grasshoppers. And he says, 12 years we haven't had this epidemic. Kitaris umaisim toim katrisbip neapronius, following what Chazal said is what is the best protection against not eating what you're not supposed to eat. Certainly, I saw that Paiskum said, we've been discussing regarding birds, that if there's a Messiah in one place, does that Messiah work for another place? And clearly, the Shas Jewish Mishnah Halacha says that even the places, even if there's a Messiah in one place about eating grasshoppers, it's not effective for another place. And moreover, it seems that the Aruch HaShulchan and others say that even if you come to a place that has a Messiah still to eat grasshoppers, apparently that was the minig of the Yemenite Jews. If we, Ashkenazic Jews and other Jews, Aruch Chaim was a Sephardi from Morocco, have a minig not to eat grasshoppers, even when we come to a place where they eat grasshoppers, we should not eat them.